with this microphone because it might fall on me. Anyway, the reading from today is from Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power.
日本語でエペソビトへの手紙第1章15節から19節をお読みいたします。こういうわけで私は主イエスに対するあなた方の信仰と、すべての聖徒に対する愛と聞いて、あなた方のために絶えず感謝を捧げ、あなた方のことを覚えて祈っています。どうか私たちの主イエスキリストの神、すなわち栄光の父が、神を知るための知恵と啓示の御霊をあなた方に与えてくださいますように。また、あなた方の心の目がはっきり見えるようになって、神の召しによって与えられる望みがどのようなものか、生徒の受け継ぐものがどのように栄光に富んだものか。ごめんなさい。19節。また神の全能の力の働きによって私たち信じる I brought bigger Bible but still19節をお読みします。また神の全能の力の働きによって私たち信じる者に働く神の優れた力がどのように偉大なものであるかをあなた方が知ることができますように。
ありがとうございます。Yeah, we're having technical difficulties. It'll probably continue on into my PowerPoint. Regardless, let's continue to be worshipful. Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. You who displayed your love for us by sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. You who show us your love through your faithfulness, through your provision, through your beauty. And today, Lord, we especially want to recognize you who show us your love through our mothers. We thank you so much for your goodness, Lord, how you've created us and how we relate to one another. You are so wonderful, Father. Worthy of praise, worthy of worship. We thank you. We ask, Lord, as we read your word, as we continue to study your word, you will transform our inner person, that we would become more and more like you, that our eyes would be fixed and focused on, Lord, the eternal aspect of this life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking of doing a Mother's Day message. Happy Mother's Day for all you mothers. But I felt the Lord wanting me to continue on in the teaching of vision. You want to hear a mother's story, Mother's Day story? It's not really a Mother's Day story. It's just that what I wanted to share about mothers is just their love, their sacrificial love. I remember I was not always a Christian. Let me just say that. Disclaimer. I was not always Christian. In fact, I became Christian when I was 19, freshman year of college. Prior to becoming Christian, oh, I was a bad person. We are all bad, but the words I used was just, every other word was a cuss word. Serious, that's just, my brothers and I, that's all we did. We just F this, blah, blah, that, and you know, that was just our language. I remember one time, after I became saved, this is after I became saved, my mom said, "Remember when you used to cuss me out?" And I said, "No, I don't remember that." I seriously don't. I still kind of vaguely remember that. But I do, in the back of my mind, remember I used to cuss my mother out. Man, I used to do so many things that I'm ashamed of to my mom. And she still loves me.
Amen.
And she still loves me. I don't want to say all the bad things I did. One more bad thing. If I go beyond one more, I might start crying. But and I regret this too. And I'm sorry, it does involve basketball. I'm going to try to stay away from basketball analogies, but this one does involve basketball. I told my mom, "I don't want you at my games because you're bad luck." Yep, that's me. That's who Jesus saved. I said that to my mom. You know why? I think I was just embarrassed about my mom. Because she didn't speak a lot of English. And I wasn't that good at that time. And so I needed something to just vent my frustration towards. And it was usually towards mom. Isn't that the case usually? When we, as kids, when we vent, it's not towards dad. Because dad might give us a good teaching. Moms are so tender though that when I used to vent my frustration, it would be towards mom. And I regret telling my mom she's bad luck, because after a while I got pretty good at basketball. And I actually wanted her to be there, but I was too ashamed to say, "Hey mom, I want you to be at my basketball game." And so she didn't see me in my glory days. She just heard from other moms, "Oh yeah, your son's pretty good." And I wish she would have saw that, because my glory day has come and gone. And now I'm just... now I'm trying to get good at preaching. Anyways, but today I wanted to talk about vision. And we saw in Ephesians a verse, but before I want to talk about Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to this passage. This is just from one of my morning devotions. It's in Psalm 127. I just want to read that real quick. Keep that up there, but I just want to read this psalm real quick. Keeping in mind vision. Psalm 127 says this. And I'll wait, because I still hear some paper rustling. And the reason why we're talking about vision. Last week we had a message about vision. This week I want to continue about vision. And it's okay. Let me just say, as a church, it's okay that we don't have a vision right now. Because vision isn't something you just pop up and say, "Oh, that's a good vision." And we'll see that today. But in Psalm 127, it says this: "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." But I just wanted to focus on, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labor in vain. That's not just church. That's your life. Unless the Lord is involved in your life, in this community, we are building in vain. Useless. It'll all crumble and be meaningless unless what? The Lord is there, involved, leading, guiding. Meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. I do believe, though, that the Lord wants to be intimately involved in your life. No matter how old you are. Because God is not so much worried about the temporal things, right? And He tells us not to worry about the temporal things. But temporal things are important, but He is more focused on the eternal things. And what is eternal about you is your spirit, your soul. And so it doesn't matter whether you're 8, 18, 28, 38, 88. Kenji. It don't matter. Because He is still, if He's involved in your life, and if He started late in your life, praise God. Better late than never. But He is more concerned about your eternal soul. Because heaven is for real.
Amen.
We saw that movie the other day. I endorse it, but it is kind of slow for me. Don't expect, you know, action flick. But, it does remind me that heaven is a reality. And I want to talk about that later. But heaven is a reality. Anyways, let me talk about my message today. It says in Ephesians 1:17, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I keep asking the Lord. The first aspect of receiving vision, a prophetic vision for the church, a prophetic vision for your own life, is this simple thing. To continue to ask. To continue to ask. Now, I mean, that's basic, right? But how many of you ask that every day? Like, not just think it, but intentionally say, Heavenly Father, what is your vision for my life? And if you're concerned with the church, Heavenly Father, what is your vision for JCCT? And if you're concerned for the city of Tucson, Heavenly Father, what is your vision for Tucson? I keep asking. It's not I keep asking the pastor, what is the vision? Because, you know, I may go, I may stay, I may leave, I may get fired. Vision, though, does not change within a community with the leadership. It's not my vision. It is the Lord's vision for your life and for the community. And I keep asking. I encourage you. Hey, listen up real quick. I encourage you to start asking the Lord, what is your vision for my life? And if you're concerned with JCCT, what is your vision for JCCT? You know, because it'd be interesting if His vision for your life and for JCCT is a lot different than your vision for it. Amen? Because unless the Lord builds it, the laborers build in vain. I keep asking. Moving on, it says, I keep asking the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Authentic prophetic vision, revelation, always leads to a greater understanding and revelation of Jesus. Always. Now, I know a lot of you know Jesus. Right? Yeah, good. You guys know Jesus, right? But I am here to challenge you and say you don't know Jesus well enough. And you will never know Jesus well enough. I want you to be in that place of, I need to know Jesus more. I want to know Jesus more. Because guess what? I've been living with my wife for now 3 years. And I don't know everything about her still. There's still something that surprises me. And I hope that I never get to the point where it's like, I know you well enough. I don't need to know you more. But for our relationship with Jesus, it's so important to be hungry. It's so important to be humble. It's so important to know that there is aspects of Jesus that we don't know yet. Why? There's a story I want to share. It's in Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn there real quick. Luke chapter 4. This is a story about Jesus and people feeling they knew Jesus well enough. And it's not a good story. Now, I'm not saying you can't know Jesus. But there are aspects of Jesus that we do not know. You know, some of us know Jesus as Lord. Some of us know Jesus as Savior. And some of us like to claim Jesus as friend. It takes a while to become friends with the King of Kings. And I'm not saying you can't be friends with Him. And hopefully, eventually, at the end of our lives, He will consider us a friend. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, let's start with verse 14. This is a story about people knowing Jesus too well and what happened, what ended up happening. In all places, this is actually the first century equivalent of a church. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. Look at that. He was a great teacher. He was a great preacher. He was, he didn't put anyone to sleep. Like I may. I'm still becoming more and more like Jesus. I still put people to sleep. That's fine. But Jesus was a powerful preacher, and everyone said, wow. He's such a well-spoken man. Wow, he knows Scripture. Wow, he is such power and authority when he speaks. It says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is his hometown. He went to his hometown. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he wrote up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And guess what? Look at verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. I wish the story would have stopped there. Everyone said, oh my gosh, this guy knows how to preach. Everyone said, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. But look at how the story ends. Someone says, isn't this Joseph's son? This is his hometown. And then they got to thinking, oh yeah, this is the kid I went to synagogue with growing up. Oh yeah, I went to his bar mitzvah. I saw him cry that when we were 10. I'm sure Jesus cried. They said, oh yeah, I dated his sister. Oh yeah, I do business with his brother. Oh yeah, I know that Jesus. I was there when he was born. And they said, this kid from Nazareth, you know, he's just one of us. And Nazareth, I don't know if you guys know Nazareth. Nazareth was a hick town. It was, you know, one of those towns where they had like a country accent. And you see that in scripture. It's like, hey, isn't he from Nazareth? Don't he have that accent? They talked funny. They had a little southern twang. You know, I can't do accents right now. I'm sorry. They talked English or something like that. They talked funny. And they're like, hey, yeah, he talks funny just like we talk funny. I know his brothers. I dated his sister. I do business with his father, Joseph. I know Joseph. I swindled Joseph the other day. And then all of a sudden, what could have been a revival in Nazareth shut down, and people became offended by this Jesus. He didn't go to school. He's a carpenter. Now in our own lives, I know you know Jesus, Savior, Lord. Keep asking. Keep living with Him. And you'll find out so much more if you just keep seeking Him and open to what He will do for you. It wasn't until this past year that I really began to understand Jesus and the Father as my provider. You know, I've always said it, but to really see Him come through and provide was something else. And I almost got bitter, let me tell you. I would have said all my life Jesus provided. But in my heart, if I didn't let Him provide for me, I would have been very bitter towards Him. There's a difference between saying, Lord, Lord, and really knowing, Lord, Lord. Jesus points that out too in some of His teachings. But always, we keep asking, Jesus, what is Your vision for my life? Jesus, what is Your vision for my house? Jesus, what is Your vision for JCCT? Jesus, what is Your vision for Tucson? And the first thing that we need to see is a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And come under that. Does that make sense to anyone? Thank you for a couple. For those of you, just keep seeking. Stay hungry. It'll come. It'll come. And I'll continue to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. Prophetic vision starts with asking. It continues with knowing Jesus more, but it's based on eternal hope. It's based on eternal hope, and it does not change. In your life, the prophetic vision that Jesus has does not change, because it's based on eternal hope. Now let me tell you, one of the differences between the people of this world and the people of God, one of the biggest differences is where we place our hopes. The scripture says hope deferred, meaning hope that goes unfulfilled, makes the heart sick. When I was before I came here to Tucson, I used to pastor a church called West Adams Church. This was in Los Angeles, California. This was a church near a USC. You guys ever been to Los Angeles, the USC area? is predominantly African American now. It used to be, I think in the 60s, predominantly Asian, it was an affluent neighborhood. The demographic changed and it just changed. And so a lot of Japanese people, they moved out of that area and started going to like Westwood or, you know, they migrated out of there. The church I was at, we continued to meet there, and it had about, you know, 15 old Japanese niseis and sanseis, second generation, third generation Japanese people. Let me tell you, that was a great bunch. Man, I love them. They treated me like I was their grandson or something. They treated me really good. It's interesting when you meet old people. Some of them are just really bitter. Some of them are very sweet. Very loving. Those women at West Adams, oh, they were so loving. It's because they had their hope in an eternal place. It didn't matter whether, when they went through the internment camps, they went through racial prejudice, they got their church stolen from them, from another church. They've been through a lot of stuff. And boy, you know, they had all the reasons to be bitter. But they were so sweet. Scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The difference between, from a spiritual Christian perspective and the world's perspective is, when you have your hopes in a place where the world can't touch, you will continue to be hopeful. Even when you're 80. In fact, when you're 80, you should be looking forward to heaven and the treasures you have accumulated there. Eternal vision does not end here. Even for your own life, it doesn't end here. You know, even if you didn't get that job you wanted, the husband you wanted, the house you wanted, the family you wanted, your hope should not be in those things. It's not bad to, you know, want those things, but you're the deepest, most, the core hope that you have should not be in those things. It's good to have a good family. I want a good family. I want a nice home. But my eternal hope is in heaven. These days, I know this sounds weird, but I get happy. Not when people are mean to me, but I try to look at it that way. When I get rejected, or I do something where I might get rejected, I say, if I get rejected and I'm doing this for the Lord, I'm going to have treasures in heaven. And so I say, okay, that's where my hope is. Treasures in heaven. Where's your hope today? Ask yourself, where do you have your hope? Ask yourself, are you getting more and more hopeful or more and more bitter? Because the older you get, the easier it is to become bitter and ugly and mean. When you're little like Ida, man, you have a lot of hope. Especially if you have good parents. But we can't go back to that. We've already been to Disneyland. And it's not all that cracked up to be. We've already done the things. We've already had enough money to buy all the candy in the candy store. And it's, you know, we have enough money to buy all the stickers we want. At that age, you know, your hope is, oh my gosh, I can't wait. We've been there. Guess what? It's going to continue to be like that unless your hope is in the right place. Prophetic vision is know the hope to which He has called you, and the hope He has called you is greater than this world can contain. And I just want to close with one thing, two more things. It's the riches of His glorious inheritance and His incomparably great power for us who believes. It is always based on redemptive purposes. And let me just say this. God has a redemptive purpose in your life. He redeemed you. He saved you. He called you. He sent His Son to die for you. He put His Spirit in you. Because He has something great for you. Something great for you. He redeemed you for a purpose. And that purpose is greater than what we could have accomplished on our own strength. The purpose He has for you, the purpose He has for JCCT, the purpose He has for Tucson, is much greater than what it can accomplish, what we can accomplish with our own strength. You guys believe that? You know, it might not be in this lifetime either. Let me just say that. And that's a good thing. Because eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. He said He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new heaven and new earth, He needs new people. And instead of creating new people, guess what? He is creating that in you. And so, the best version of you is still a shadow of what is to come. But He begins now. And boy, let me tell you, some of you, God has done a great job. He has done a wonderful job. But He is not finished. As loving as you are now, God can make you even more loving. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but since I already shared the story of I used to cuss my mom out, man, I used to be, ugh. I can't believe how much God has changed me. It's about maturity too, and we all mature, but man, if I continued on that path, oh, I'd be cussing some of y'all out. But God changed me. He transformed me. And He changed you. And He's transforming you. And I know we have a long ways to go still. I know that. I know I have a long ways to go yet. I know that. But He is transforming us. And if you allow Him, if you allow Him to get a hold of your heart, if you keep asking, stay hungry, keep humble, continue to ask Jesus to reveal more of Himself, and if you have that hope in the right place, God will give you a vision that's far greater, far more meaningful than you could have ever imagined, and He'll do that to Tucson as well. And He'll do that to JCCT as well. So let's keep asking. If you're really concerned, stop asking me and start asking Jesus. Every day, start asking Jesus, what is your vision? What is your vision? What is your vision? And then when He speaks, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands His way. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, You are just so wonderful. You are. You're better, greater than basketball. Oh, greater than sports. Something I really love. You're greater and more wonderful than anything this world has to offer. Whether it's riches, whether it's comfort, whether it's fame, whether it's popularity, Lord, you're more important than all of those things combined. And Lord, I want to ask you, give me your vision for my life. Go ahead and pray that. And maybe it is different than where you've been going. Give me a vision. Give me your vision for my life. Give me your vision for JCCT. Give me your vision for Tucson. Lord, the redemptive purpose you have for Tucson. Give me a greater revelation of yourself, Jesus. I want to know you more. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.